This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of the atrocities of war is the rape of women civilians, but some say that what is happening in Bosnia and Herzegovina is unprecedented in the history of war crimes. In October, the Ministry of Interior of Bosnia and Herzegovina estimated that 50,000 women and girls had been raped and many impregnated on purpose. The rapes are being documented by the ministry and by journalists and women's groups in the former Yugoslavia. My guest Slavinka Draculic wrote about this in last Sunday's New York Times. She's a Croatian journalist and a founding member of the first network of Eastern European women's groups. She's the author of How We Survived Communism and Even Laughed, and she's now completing a book about the war called Balkan Express. We called her earlier today at her home in Zagreb, about 100 miles away from the fighting in Bosnia. She calls the rapes a form of genocide. She says that these are not random acts. They are part of a systematic attack by the Serbs.
This is a part of ethnic cleansing. And it's not only that they are resettling Muslim population, that they have been killed on purpose, slaughtered, that is, and it's about 100,000 people who have been slaughtered and killed in Bosnia and Herzegovina. But this is also one of the things that is, I think, a special form of humiliation. And if it has been done in a special special places and with a special purpose of humiliating people, of on purpose impregnating women there, you know, and not only that, but put her in a specific situation. You have to know that most of this population comes from underdeveloped part of the country and a very patriarchal part of the country. No, these women don't need to be especially religious, you know. But the part of a Muslim culture is, of course, is a part of every patriarchal culture is that the rape is a shame, even if it happens in the war time, you know. So in order to make it impossible to live after the war, and this is the analysis of one gynecologist. In Sarajevo, his analysis is that in order to enable it to live together after the war, you know, once you kill a man or you kill a person, this is, people try to forget it. And this had happened during the Second World War in Yugoslavia too. People started to live together and they lived quite well together for 40 years. But if you rape a woman and she gives birth to a child, or if her surroundings, you know, her neighbors, her friends, her family knows that she has been raped, it is like a stamp of shame, of ultimate shame for that person. And it goes on generation for at least three generations, you know.
When you say that this rape has become a form of genocide, mm-hmm. is that because the Muslim women are becoming impregnated by people who aren't Muslim? Do they see this as a way of changing
the structure, yes, the demographic structure, because what they said, the witnessing is saying, for example, in this article that they quoted from Oslo Bojenje, what they are saying is that witnesses are saying that it has been explicitly said to them that they have been raped and impregnated on purpose to give birth to more Chetniks and to more little Serbs. They are mixing blood. The Muslim blood is no longer clean any longer, you know. It's not clean anymore. So they are destroying the Muslim nation by infiltrating, in quote, Chetnik's blood into the nation, i.e. impregnating women who are going to give birth to little Chetniks. And of course they can't be taken as Muslims. I mean, there's not only that these children are going to be adopted, most likely, you know. But the idea is one, that they are going to give birth to little Serbs, i.e. little Chetniks, and the idea is that for generations, people like Muslims and Serbs, because Muslim women have been raped by Serbian men, cannot live together in this part of the world, which is the idea of the ethnic cleansing.
For our listeners who aren't familiar with the term Chetnik.
The Chetniks were Royal Army during the Second World War, led by Draža Mihailović, and it is the term Chetnik that stands for something extremely brutal. And this is how the enemy soldiers are called, both in Croatia, enemy Serbian soldiers are called both in Croatia and in Serbia and Herzegovina, but it's also a name that they give to themselves, too, to revive the, you know, the idea of the Second World War. So it's both, I mean.
What evidence is there that Serbs are intentionally impregnating Muslim women?
Well, one evidence is the numbers, because these numbers are unprecedented. And the evidence is witnessing. The evidence are witnessing from both sides, i.e. women are witnessing that this has been done and said to them. And there also have been people who have been, the Serbian soldiers who have been imprisoned, and their claim is too that they had instructions to do that.
What are the patterns that are starting to emerge? I mean, in reading the stories that you wrote up for the New York Times, it seems like these rapes are especially brutal, they're intended to hurt the women as much as possible and to humiliate them as much as possible.
Yeah, but before I tell you that, I just want to go, okay, I will answer to that, but I just wanted to read you something from the bulletin, the official bulletin, and it says that there have been about 2,000 women from age 7 to age 18 have been raped, then 8,000 women from age 18 to 35, 3,000 women from age 35 to 50, and 1,000 over 50 years old women. And it says also that the youngest girl that has been raped had 7, and that the oldest woman had 80 years, you know. Now, going back to the special brutality, I think that when we are speaking about how much and in what way women have been raped and how brutally it has been done, we have to know that there is enormous brutal war going on in Bosnia and Herzegovina. The atrocities are just very difficult to understand. I've read another witnessing that doesn't have very much. I mean, it has to do with the rape itself. It is the woman is a witness of a rape, but she includes something else in this witnessing. She is telling how her son has been killed, teenage son has been killed in front of her eyes. And what they did is they cut her son's head off. So woman, during the night, she wasn't able to bury her son, and she took his head, and she managed to get out of Bosnia, and she had with her head son for 2 weeks with her, you know, sleeping with her, having it with her. So, I mean, these kind of things are happening, and this kind of witnessing, you know, we are reading here. So, I mean, you know, it gives you the idea about the war in general, you know. They are witnessing about little children being, you know, thrown in the fire, about 60 or 70 people being closed in the house, and then bomb is thrown, and they're you know, they all get burned and so on. So I don't want to go into these details, but I want to say that the general picture of the war is that this is a very, very brutal war, and that it doesn't surprise me that women are being violated and raped and humiliated in a very, very special way. There are also many, many cases that are not recorded as rape, for example, and they are rape, in fact, of women being raped and then killed. So we have one very striking example of 300 girls from a house for retarded children in Visegrad, and they have all first been raped and then all of them killed. So, I mean, you know, this is just to give you an idea what is actually happening. And but of course, one of the problems with all that is that the women don't want to talk very much about that.
My guest is Slavinka Drakulic. She's a Croatian journalist, and she's speaking to us from her home in Croatia. We'll talk more after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Joining us on the phone from Croatia is journalist Slavinka Drakulic, and she's, by the way, in the process of completing a book about the war in the former Yugoslavia called Balkan Express. You know, in America, there's been so much education done about rape and rape as an act, you know, as a crime of power and violence. Is there any political context in the former Yugoslavia to interpret rape in? Do you know what I mean?
You mean any kind of public awareness about that?
Exactly.
Well, no, I have to say, unfortunately, no. This is a very patriarchal country. We didn't have, We didn't have feminist movement. We have only feminist groups, you know. And it was very difficult to break this kind of silence. It was a taboo, you know. We had a law. Up to 10 years, you could go, you could be punished for rape. But actually, almost no one was ever punished, you know, up to 10 years. That on average, they would go out with 1 or 2 years for rape. And also, 1 out of 10 rapes would be reported. And this is a terrible thing, because nobody really reports, very few women report rape, you know. And in a culture like ours, there is no public awareness. And this is one of the reasons that you know, women are not talking about it. Doctors are not prepared to deal with that in a special way. And plus, there is so many refugees, and they barely have anything to eat. So it's even very difficult to expect to you know, to for someone, for doctors, for the institutions to take a special care of these women. So this is why we are, you know, trying to mobilize public opinion. And, for example, the humanitarian organizations of Germany already decided to help with by giving, or in this form or the other, of 2 million Deutschmarks. Austria is mobilized, Italy is mobilized, Switzerland is mobilized, France is starting to be alert about the whole situation. So there is a lot of talk about rape, women being raped, Muslim women being raped here in Europe, you know. And there is awareness of this, at least public opinion abroad, not in the country ourselves. I have to tell you one thing, that there is a very, very strange thing happened with Croatian women who have been also raped during the Croatian war, you know. There have been women, I mean, exactly the same thing happened to them, not on that scale, but we heard about the 150 women who have been raped and impregnated on purpose and who came back here, released from the concentration camps when it was too late for them to have an abortion, so that they had to, or they're about, or they already delivered the child or children. But the point is that in a way, Croatian government was kind of hiding it. They didn't point it out as a special kind of problem, as a special kind of humiliation of women, you know. And it, for me, is a very strange behavior, you know. I heard also one thing that actually I think it's maybe indicative for what is happening here. When a journalist asks a person, this very highly placed person who takes care of refugees, what is going to happen with these children, because there is no consistent policy towards this, he said, he started to scream, saying, these children are devil's seed. They are not going to be adopted by Croatian family. We have to get rid of these children. They have to be adopted by foreigners, and these kind of things, which I think it's totally, total lunacy. I mean, you can't deal with this like that, I mean, on such an irrational way. So maybe this is one of the reasons why the numbers and have been hidden in terms of what happened in Croatia, you know.
So you're looking at another problem, which is what happens when the children get born to women who were raped. Who's
nobody's dealing with that problem. This is what is chilling, because nobody is prepared to have any kind of system. And it seems that the best organization the organization who is going to deal with that in the best possible way is Caritas, which is a humanitarian organization of a Catholic Church. It seems that they are prepared to take these children, to give them for adoption and so on. They are the only, but there are no state institutions, there are no private initiatives, there is no policy, nothing has been disclosed about that, and I have the feeling that nobody really takes care about that. So I mean, because it is happening in Croatia, probably the Croatian government have to say something about that. But on the other hand, because those are Bosnian refugees, Bosnian government has other problems. They're not even thinking about what they are going to do with this. So I mean, it's a total. I have to say, this is a total confusion, and it's really chilling, because most of these women don't want to hear about this. And not even. I mean, it's very difficult for them. Just now, I heard a report from a friend of mine who went to a refugee camp near Zagreb, and she said that she talked to a person who just today came. She's 42 years old, and she has been raped. And she said that this person is, you know, not only that she has a nervous breakdown, but this woman is real nuts. I mean, she went crazy. Her mind is gone, you know, and nobody is working with these kind of people. And not to tell you that most of the women are even, they cannot understand that they have been impregnated. And when you ask them, what are you going to have to do with these children? They are saying, we don't know. I don't want to see it. I don't know. You know, there are women who are saying, I'm not pregnant, and she's about to give birth. So it's an enormous problem. It's a real huge problem. How to deal with this? How to what is going to happen. I think that some kind of international help is needed. It's needed on several levels. International help is needed, in my view, to start a legal procedure to recognize rape as a war crime, number one. Number two, some kind of a commission of joint forces of, I don't know, Red Cross, whoever, has to go and find out about these camps where women are kept and try to free these women. And the third one is, mobilization of funds and resources, know-how, and people who want to help to these women really in everyday living, you know. And the fourth one is the big problem of children. So we need some kind of international forum who is going to advise and to help and to say, yes, okay, these women, I mean, if they want to give kids to adoption, let's help them to give this kid for adoption. There are so many people who want to adopt kids, you know. So, I mean, you know, I think that without international mobilization of women's network and humanitarian organizations, and this is not going to work. I don't know what kind of disaster would help. I can even, you know, see that these women will kill these children once they are born.
The last time you and I spoke was in July, mm-hmm. and you said then that, you know, there was food in the stores, there was no signs of fighting, but there were a lot of refugees that had come to Zagreb, and there was just a lot of kind of fear and anxiety in the city. How has the situation, of day-to-day life changed since we last spoke in July?
Well, I think it didn't change very much, luckily enough. You know, people are just getting more and more poor, I think, and average income is now $80. And it's the inflation is about 30% a month, and there is still everything in the shops. And Croatia, there is no war in Croatia. The parts of Croatia have been occupied. There is a little fighting going on, but there is no war here, you know. And there are no shortages, you know. So you would say life is good if it wouldn't be, you know, for lack of democracy that we have in this country, which is the problem. But it's also a problem of the future, not of this moment, you know. So this is one thing. But I think on the other level, not only that these refugees are being visible, but it's another thing that, people are preoccupied with that, you know, because the economy, the Croatian economy just cannot stand the fact, you know, because we have about 300,000 unemployed people, you know, and we have very many poor people. About 70% of the people living in Croatia are actually poor, you know. There is a very tiny, tiny little stratum of rich people, nouveau riche, who made money recently, you know. But the people are getting, you know, their standard of living is lower and lower and lower, and they're getting desperate about it, of course, you know. Now, there is a great talk about, if you're speaking about what is the atmosphere, is that the UN supposedly will withdraw in March, and then there is a great talk about rumors about the offensive that the Croatian forces will take to get back the occupied territories. But you know, this is all talk. I don't know. I only know that there is an instruction from the government to clean the cellars, you know, and to turn them into shelters again, which is a very, you know, very very very, you know, something that you might fear, you know, that the war will come again, you know. And the front line is about 30 miles from Zagreb, so it gives you the idea, you know, that there is still this tension in the air, you know.
What would you like to see the United Nations or the United States or Europe do to help the former Yugoslavia?
Well, you know, whatever I would say would be just, I think, wishful thinking. I wasn't really clear about myself about would intervention in Bosnia help or not, because I don't like the United States to be a world policeman that is going to help, you know, and help in quote in any region, problematic region of the world, you know. But obviously, the truth is that Europe hasn't been able to consolidate and to react in a proper way, to react in time to solve the problem in ex-Yugoslavia. Everything was well known and obvious even before the war started. Nobody helped and nobody did what needs to be done at that time, you know. So, I mean, it's really up to the United States now to maybe do something. And I'm quite puzzled, would intervention help or not? But I think that maybe UN should have more, should do more in terms of, you know, fighting back, or in terms of being not only reduced to defend, but just also to somehow attack. And it seems that there is still total confusion in heads of EC. You know, or the only thing that they know how to do is to close their borders. You know, so I think that, you know, UN could and should do more. I think that United States could and should do more. And everybody here has at least one wishful, you know, thought. And this is that Bill Clinton, when he comes into power, is going to do more. You know, I don't know. You know, if you ask me, I'm not a politician, but I think that something has to be done because it's just, you know, just too much to see what is happening there, and it's Europe.
What are the holidays going to be like for you?
I think they're going to be very sad because nobody's here really celebrating the holidays any longer. I think we have already, you know, all these little trees decorated in Zagreb and so on. And we are living, to say the truth, we are living some kind of very schizophrenic life. We live a what I call a parallel reality. On one hand, you see all this terror and blood and refugees and killings, and you are aware of all that, and your life is poor and miserable and sad. And everybody is involved in that. Everybody has this feeling, you know. On the other hand, you still want to keep yourself somehow normal. And instead, in order to keep yourself normal, you invent this parallel, what I call parallel reality. You pretend normality. You pretend that there is going to be a real nice Christmas, and perhaps you'll invite people and you make cakes and everything. But eventually what is going to happen is that we are all going to discuss the one and the same subject that we are discussing for the last 2 years. You know, there is no escape from that. So in that terms, it's going to be, I think, very sad holiday, because you can hardly celebrate when you are seeing all that, and when you're aware that it is only 100 miles from you, that they are really, you know, slaughtering people, and to see all these documents and to read all these documents that I did, and to see it on television, and to know the people personally, it changes your life. We are just, you know, I know that there is this problem, you know, of the otherness. It's not happening to us now, but Bosnia is too close, so it's happening to us too.
Slavenka Dragulic spoke to us from her home in Zagreb. She's completing a book on the war called Balkan Express. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.